and we talking to people there, they'll, you'll get the impression that they think that there are many ways into God's kingdom. But we're going to study the Bible. We're going to see what the Bible say. Does the Bible say there are many ways, or does the Bible say there's one way? We'll start off my lesson in Matthew 9, verse 35. It says, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing and every sickness and every disease among the people. Now Jesus went, he was, what he was done to show people that he is Christ, that he could do whatever. But most important, he was preaching the gospel, not just a gospel, the gospel of the kingdom. And in Matthew 24, verse 36 through 39, says, but of that day and hour, no man knows, not the angel of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah was, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, there was eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. That so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. We ought to know, we're not going to know when God is going to return. He doesn't reveal that to us nowhere in the scriptures. But in Noah's time, the people was warned. They didn't know when the flood was coming, but they knew it was coming. But evidently they didn't believe Noah as he taught them what they should be doing, preparing themselves, getting ready, because you're not going to know. Today, the Bible tells us we ought to be ready. We have to prepare ourselves. We have to continue to study God's word. Make it a part of our everyday life. Because we do not know when the Son of Man will come. In 1 Thessalonians, verses 5 and 8, you are all the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Verse 8 says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. We want to be a part of the darkness that surrounds us. But what we need to be doing, putting on the breastplate of faith. We have to have the hope of salvation. It is spoken about many times from the pulpit. Hope of salvation. Have the faith and love that God requires of us. Not just among us here, but as we out in the world, show that love that we receive by studying God's word. How he wants us to be in this world as we go from day to day. In Matthew 24, as we were speaking that, no one's going to know when the Lord's going to come. Verse 38 of that chapter said, for in the days that were before the flood, there was eating and drinking, marriage and giving it, doing all kinds of things, not taking in contact what Noah had been trying to teach them. In Matthew 7, especially verse 13 and 14, he said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Straight is the gate, verse 14, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. When I read it, I think of congregation. There's many congregations in this city alone. Some of them are really big. I bet the one had downstairs and upstairs. But do that prove that they are following God's truth? By how large the congregation is, the parking lot is full. Do that prove that they are following God's plan of salvation? Because in verse 14, he says, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. Now, the parking lot might not be full, but as you walk through the doors with an open mind and listen to what is being said, that's how you determine where you ought to be, what you should be doing. The straight and narrow. In other words, there's no room for error. Sure, you can step off the path, you can fall. We all fall every now and then. But there's something that we must do to get back on that straight and narrow path. We admit we were wrong. Ask for forgiveness. Get back on. It's just like when you're teaching your young one to ride a bicycle. They're going to fall. But what you're going to encourage them to do? Get up. Try it again. Get back on it. I know when I was learning, I fell. Boy, did I fall. But it didn't stop me. I got right back up. That's how you learn Jesus' pattern. That's how you stick to the plan. Because just because the parking lot is full, the building is full, doesn't mean they follow the pattern. Because they think they are following the pattern. But there's only one way into the kingdom. In Jeremiah 6, verse 16, he says, speak of it as the good way. The good way. The only way you're going to know the good way is by studying God's word. And John 14:6 says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Again I say, are there many ways in the kingdom? Jesus said, no man come to the Father. You got to go through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because if the devil is true, which we know it's not. Why do some people think they can go around Jesus? He just said, no man goes to the Father but by me. And the only way you can please that, you got to please Jesus Christ. You got to stick to his plan, the plan of salvation. You might not agree with everything that the Bible say. But one thing for sure, you cannot change it. So what you're going to have to do, you're going to have to accept it, or you're going to disobey it. It's not but one way into the kingdom. You cannot straddle the fence. You can't have one foot in and one foot out. And John 9 says, whosoever transgress and abide not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. The doctrine of Christ. We cannot change it. We must accept God's plan of salvation. He died for all mankind, that we all may have a chance to the tree of life. But we have to follow his plan. Just like in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church. In Psalms 127:1, it stated, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. So see, no matter how beautiful or how big a building might be, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain. And that's what's going to be so sad when the Lord do return. Because people have in mind that they are doing right. But frankly, they are just following man's plan, not our Lord and Savior plan. In Acts 20:28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. That scripture alone should get all man to think, who purchased the church? And he purchased with what? His own blood. Our Lord and Savior died that we might have a chance if we follow the plan. I'm going to read a passage from Luke 13. Verses 22-28. He said, and they went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say, I know you. Unto you, I know you not, whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten, drunk, in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not, whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye that work iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourself thrust out. See, they misunderstood Jesus. When he was preaching, teaching them, they should take heed to what the Lord was saying to them. There's only one way into the kingdom. no matter how, let's say they had eaten with him, drunk with him, all that, communicated with Jesus. But yet still, they didn't obey his plan. Then said, when the door is shut, that's it. The door is shut. Man cannot open the door when the Lord closed the door. It is done. So if we follow God's plan, we must also take heed. If we fall, we must get up and continue. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 41 and 43, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of the kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquities, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who had ears to hear, let him hear. Who going to shine? The righteous. Those that follow Jesus' plan. Those are the ones that's going to shine. Sure, there's a lot of good people in this world. I do not deny that. They do a lot of good deeds, not just domestic, but overseas also. But are they following Jesus' plan? See, that is the key, following Jesus' plan, along with your good work. See, you can't be doing all this good work and not following the Lord's plan of salvation. Not as you expect to enter the kingdom. Not that you expect to go home with the Lord once he returns for his people. So if we go on and see, there's going to be a separation. So we have to follow the Lord's plan of salvation. In Matthew 25, verse 32, said, he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. Now, we all know about sheep and goats. Well, we don't see them. I don't know much about animals anyway. But nevertheless, there's a difference between the sheep and the goat, a great difference. But Jesus said there's going to be a separation. Once he returns, there's going to be a separation. Now, I don't know about you, but sheep are very humble animals. You know, they are very humble. So I don't know, do you want to be the sheep or do you want to be a goat? Because there will be a separation. The righteous from the unrighteous. Put it like that. There's going to be a separation. See, as stated earlier in Matthew, he said, the righteous shall shine as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. So don't we want to shine? More important, don't we want to be saved? In Genesis 7, verse 16 said, this is after Noah had built the ark. And they went in, male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. There we go again. The Lord closing the door. The righteous from the unrighteous. Those who believe, those who do not believe. In Matthew 25, I like this example. It's a very good example of being ready. 25 verse 10 is about the 10 virgins I know we all done heard the story, done read it and everything. But like I say, it's a very good example that while they went to buy oil, you know, they had, each one had a lamp, but only five had oil. And you wonder why the five had oil and the other five didn't. I mean, a lamp is no good without oil, other than beauty. Other than that, it's of no value. He said, why they went to buy the oil? He said, the bridegroom came, and the door there was ready, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Again, the Lord closed the door because the other five wasn't ready. They wasn't prepared. They did not watch. To be ready, we have to continue to study God's word. More important, we have to continue to obey God's word. To be ready, Matthew 24:44. We must be ready. The only way to be ready is by studying God's plan. We have it here. All of us have Bibles. We must read. No, we must study our Bibles. Another example is Acts 27:31. That when Paul told the sailors that the great storm was up on them, and he told them, except ye abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. How many ways did they have to be saved? Paul said they only had one way to be in the ship. Except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. One way into the kingdom. Being obedient to God's word. In Matthew 15:13, that every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Every plant. There's many congregations around us today. But if they're not teaching God's word as it's written, it's of no value. The Lord said it will be rooted up. And we know if a plant is pulled up by its root, we know what's going to happen to that plant, don't we? It's going to vanish away. It's going to go back to the earth. I read this again in Psalm 127:1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In Romans 10, we'll read that. Romans 10:1-3. Brother, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. There's a lot of people in this world have a zeal for God. You hear it all the time on the radio. You hear people speaking when you go out amongst them, speaking about God, speaking about Jesus Christ. But unless you have that zeal to really get down and study God's word, find out what it's meaning. If you have questions about that zeal, find out. There's so many religious peoples and material that you can find out. But most important, there's the scripture. As you read it and take it as it is, you won't have so much problem. He said they had a zeal for God, but not according to righteousness. We see that even among family members. They say that Tristan, they want to go to church on Sunday. Well, yet still, it must be pleasing to them. They look so much at what is being said that make them feel good, other than looking at the script, what the scripture says about certain things. What scripture says, what you ought to do on the first day of the week when you come together. What the scripture says about how you ought to give. They forget about 2 Corinthians 9. They forget about Acts 20, verse 7. Whether they forget it or they don't know about it, I have no idea. But in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9, it states, "For the Lord searches all hearts." The Lord knows our heart. He knows where we're going. He knows what we're thinking Saturday night. Do we have worship on our mind at Saturday night when we retire from that evening? Do we have the Lord on our mind on Sunday morning, on Monday morning, Tuesday, the rest of the week, or just on Sunday? The Lord must be in our mind at all times. Because let the Lord know, like I said, I done said before, you can fool man, but you can't fool God. He knows where your heart is at. And he understands all the imagination of their thoughts. So if you seek him, he will be found. But if you forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. We cannot fool God. We must always try to prepare ourselves to follow God's plan. In other words, if you obey him, you will be acknowledged. But if you disobey him, we will be lost. It's just as simple as ABC. You obey or you disobey. Might sound easy, but in a sense it is. But because the world is so crooked, it's messed up, especially for our young people, you have to really be careful, even now, more so than when I was 20, 19 and stuff, because the world have changed. A lot of wrong are so open now. And a lot of people accept the wrongdoing. Some of them accept it because they have a loved one are living wrong. But you can't live for your loved one. You can only live for you. You can only die for you. You can only obey God. Only you can obey God. No matter how much you love your loved ones, if they're not walking that straight and narrow path, they will be lost. John 9, verse 7, this is where Jesus was healing the blind man. He told the blind man was a blind from birth. he told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he told him what to do when he got there. He said, go wash. Told him where to go and what to do. So he went. Guess what happened? He came seeing. Simply because he obeyed the Lord. He obeyed. He believed in the Lord. And he obeyed. Go wash. In Jeremiah 6:16, stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. It's a good way, obeying God's plan. Following it and believing in it. That straight and narrow path, stay on that straight and narrow path. Another good example, one more that I'd like to bring forth, is talk about in 2 Kings 5. That's when, I know you all know about this, when Naaman, he wanted to be healed. He had leprosy. So he went to the man of God. Now the man of God didn't even come out now. He sent his servant to tell him what to do. It was a simple task. But Naaman got angry. You know how people get angry sometimes when you tell them, when you're trying to tell them the truth or showing the truth? I don't have them so get so angry they tell me that's not what the scripture's saying. Even though they're reading, I'm letting them read it for themselves now. They tell me that's not what the scripture's saying. So Naaman was told what to do. He got angry. It's a good thing for Naaman, he had someone there to tell, to talk to him, in a calm manner. And Naaman changed his mind. So he went. He was told to go to Jordan. And Naaman wanted to know why he couldn't go to other bottles of water. Wanted to know when the other bottles of water just as good. But you know, that wasn't the point. The point was obeying God. That's the point. It doesn't matter, maybe the other bottle of water was even better than where he was told to go. But the point is, he was told to go to a certain bottle of water, and he was told what to do when he got there. So Naaman went. He finally went, and he dipped 7 times. And guess what happened to him? His leprosy was gone. Obeying God's plan. You cannot change it. Like I said before, you might not like it, but you cannot change it. It all comes down to obeying God's plan. Not your own, not man's plan, but God. In my closing, it stated, I like read it from John 14. I read it before. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me.